from the Land Grant University in Urbana-Champaign, Illinois. This is the Closing Market Report. It's the first day of March 2012. I'm Todd Gleason. In a few moments, we'll talk about the commodity markets with Dan Zwicker of ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. Matt Bennett from TGM in Windsor will be here to take up the cash grain movement. Dave Dickey will have the ag news for the day, and Pete Levitt will help us explore weather patterns in the world's primary growing regions. Along the way today, we'll talk with Gary Schnicki, who will give us his take on just which crop insurance products farmers in Illinois, the Corn Belt for that matter, should take. And by the way, with the close of the month of February, the crop insurance commodity prices have been set for corn and soybeans. They are $5.68 and $12.55 respectively. More on crop insurance later in this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report, a production of Illinois Public Media. It is public radio for the farming world from the University of Illinois.
This stock and commodity report on Illinois Public Media is made possible with support from Bates Commodities in Normal, providing clients with the latest market information based on research by ADM Investor Services and other independent sources. Bates Commodities can be reached at 1-800-383-4647 or on the internet at batescom.net.
Let's take a look at the numbers as they settled up in Chicago on this Thursday afternoon. Futures finished the day mostly lower in the wheat bit. Nearby contract in the March down 5 cents at $6.59 and a quarter. The May at $6.64, down 4, and July at $6.91 and a quarter in Chicago, 5 and a quarter lower for the soft red winter wheat. The hard red July harvest month at $7.14 and a half in Kansas City, down 2 and a half cents. March corn futures on the day, $6.53 and three quarters, 2 and three quarters lower. The May at $6.54, down 4, and July, $6.55 and a half, a nickel lower. September, $6.98, down 2 and three quarters. December futures, $5.66 and three quarters, a penny and three quarters lower. And the March corn at $5.83 and a quarter for 2013, down 2 and a quarter cents. March soybeans today, $13.16 and three quarters, 3 and a quarter cents higher. May at $13.22 and a half, up 2 and a half. July, $13.29 and a half, a penny and three quarters higher. And August soybeans at $13.20 and a half, 3 and a half higher. November contract, $12.94 and a quarter. Up 5 and a quarter. Bean meal at $3.53.70, up $2.50. Bean oil at $53.94, down 15 on the afternoon. Live cattle futures finished the June at 128, 12 and a half, up 90 cents. August at 130, 30, 62 and a half higher. April feeder cattle at 161, 77 and a half, up a buck 60. The May futures at 163, 17 and a half, $1.30 higher for 100 pounds. And the May lean hogs at $98, 22 and a half cents finished 47.5 cents higher on this Thursday afternoon. You're listening to the Closing Market Report. Here's how the outside markets finished up for the day. April crude oil futures at $108.86. They're, of course, still trading. This is on a 10-minute delay, up $1.81. Ethanol at 226 and 4 tenths. That's up 4 tenths of a cent. And the natural gas at 247 and 4 tenths, 14 and 3 tenths of a cent lower. Heating oil at 328, up 7 and 4 tenths of a cent. Gold futures at $1,721.10 an ounce, $11.20 higher, and the dollar at 78.78, up 0.05. The CRB index for the day at 324.27, up 1.84, and the S&P at 1373.89, that's up 8.25. Here's what the weather forecast looks like for the Urbana-Champaign area this afternoon. Yeah, sunny skies, a high of 52 degrees with a wind out of the west at 6 to 9 miles an hour. That'll become southerly to southeasterly as we move our way through the evening hours. Partly cloudy this evening, by the way, with a low of about 40 degrees. A south-southeast wind at 6 to 9. Tomorrow, showers and thunderstorms likely. It'll be mostly cloudy. A high near 60 degrees, breezy, with a south wind at 8 to 11, becoming westerly to southwesterly at 17 to 20. Winds could gust as high as 24 tomorrow. The chance of precipitation in the Urbana-Champaign area set at 70%. Friday night, a 30% chance of showers before 9 p.m., mostly cloudy then, a low of 32 degrees with a west wind at 13 to 18, gusting to 23. And Saturday, partly sunny, with a high of 41 with a west wind at 13 to 18, gusting to 23. Saturday night, mostly clear and a low of 27 degrees. We'll have more on the weather forecast when we get to the bottom of the half hour. We'll talk with meteorologist Pete Levitt.
Todd Gleason services are made available to WILL by University of Illinois Extension.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report. It's a Thursday afternoon. Hey, before we get started, I want to take a moment to tell you about lunch today. The Eastern Illinois Food Bank, with the help of the Hilton Garden Inn right here in Champaign, thanked its partners, including Sam's Club of Champaign. It was honored as the Food Donor of the Year. Sam's donated enough produce and meat last year and other goods to serve 87,000 meals. It's a great big deal. The food bank, of course, makes regular pickups at Sam's. It used to be that a lot of the food that came in arrived from places like Kraft right here in town. That happened mostly when there was a glitch in their lines. Some of the packaged products were over or underweight, mislabeled, something like that to cause them not to be for sale. But that doesn't happen as often anymore because food banks have gotten pretty good at, well, eliminating those mistakes, the food companies, that is. So now places like the Eastern Illinois Food Bank get food from the backside of the supply chain, not the front side, and enter Sam's Club and other retailers. When the food is still good, but not really in condition for sale on the shelf, it comes to the food bank. Thank you to Sam's. The News Gazette is the Eastern Illinois Food Bank Business Partner of the Year. This local newspaper, that's John Foreman's phrase and not mine, well, it makes a huge difference. Each October, it seals the paper with a post-it note reminding you to give to the Eastern Illinois Food Bank's Food for Families Fund Drive. That one turned 25 last fall, by the way. And the Gazette puts a full-page spread inside. We, the board, and the staff of the food bank cannot express how much it means when a donation arrives in an envelope with a piece of the News Gazette attached to it and a note saying it was the reason they gave. So that you don't think this is just a Champaign thing or even a Champaign County thing, let me tell you another story. I sat at a table today with representatives from Ameren. That company has sent 42 people to southern Illinois this week to restore power after the tornadoes. There were two people from the Cargill plant in Tuscola at my table, too. Say hi from me to Michelle Slaminko and Jill Clary if you see them. At least I think Jill was her first name. And there were a couple of nice ladies that run a food pantry from the Baptist Church in Arthur. That's a town of about 2,100. They sure appreciate the food they get from the food bank, and especially the meat. It likely, of course, came from Sam's Club. Last year, they served 700 individuals. Now, remember, they're in a town of 2,100. That's good works, and it means there's plenty of need in our urban and rural areas. So on behalf of the food bank, let me say thank you to all those involved in some really good work.
Agricultural programming is made possible by Farm Credit Services of Illinois. Farm Credit Services of Illinois has been providing for farmers' credit and insurance needs for over 95 years, including real estate, operating and machinery loans, crop and life insurance protection, and programs for young and beginning farmers.
Well, I've been trying to reach Dan Zwicker. He's at the Commodity Classic and apparently in a place that we can't quite get to at this point, so we're going to try him back in just a bit. No worries, because we'll have Dave Dickey here in a moment to give us the ag news, and we'll follow up on that one with that interview from Gary Schnitke.
Senate Agriculture Committee Chairwoman Debbie Stabenow has moved up the dates of the last two Farm Bill hearings so that her committee can move more quickly toward marking up the bill. Senate Agriculture Committee Ranking Member Pat Roberts said he believes the committee will finish its work by Memorial Day. Stabenow announced that the nutrition hearing, scheduled for March 14th, has been moved to March 7th, and that the risk management and commodity hearing, scheduled for March 21st, has been moved to March 14th. Stabenow said she wants to write a new five-year farm bill rather than extend the current bill or write a slightly altered bill that would last only a year or two. A Central Texas state agency has adopted a plan to limit farm water use, even in the absence of a drought. The Central Texas Lower Colorado River Authority voted 10-5 for the plan after an extensive review of water supplies and needs. The plan now goes to the Texas Commission on Environmental Quality for review, which has a year to act. The new plan eliminates the former practice of open supply, in which unlimited water was made available for agricultural use. The Bank of China and CME Group have signed an agreement to expand the use of the Chinese currency in settling some commodity trades, further expanding the use of the yuan outside the country's borders. The two sides also signed to enhance cooperation on yuan clearing, custody, and futures settlement. The Commerce Department today says that Americans' incomes rose 0.3% in January, but taxes and inflation gobbled up the gains and consumer spending was flat. Inflation has accelerated recently due to rising rents and gasoline prices. Prices on personal consumption expenditures rose 0.2% in January, up from 0.1% in December. The Kroger Company says costs associated with consolidating its pension plan for workers led it to post a net loss in the fourth quarter, even as sales improved at the nation's biggest supermarket chain. The Cincinnati-based operator of Kroger, Ralph's, and other grocery chains said it lost $306.9 million, or 54 cents per share. The company said total sales for the quarter increased 7.7% from a year ago. And that's a look at today's agricultural news.
Hey, thanks, Dave. Dave Dickey is Director of Agricultural Programming for Illinois Public Media. That's public radio for the farming world. I'm U of I Extension's Todd Gleason. You know, yesterday the Risk Management Agency concluded its price discovery period, not used to determine final prices and the volatility factors for the federally sponsored corn and soybean crop insurance products for the coming growing season. Now, for the majority of the Midwest, the projected price for corn is $5.68. The volatility factor relating to the price risk is anticipated yet to be 0.22. For soybeans, the projected price is $12.55 with a volatility factor of 0.18. For comparison, the 2011 prices and volatility were $6 and a penny for corn at 0.29 and $13.49 for soybeans at 0.23. I spoke to Gary Schnitke a bit earlier in the week as we were pretty close to having these numbers settled about which crop insurance products folks might consider and which might be more profitable for farmers in Illinois, for the Midwest, for that matter, any place that corn and soybeans happen to be grown in the primary regions. Here's a portion of that interview. Thanks so much, Gary, for taking the time with us today. You have written a brand new Farm Economics Facts and Opinion piece looking at how crop insurance was used across the state of Illinois last year. Was there one particular plan that was more prevalent than others?
Yeah, yes, there was. The primary plan used in Illinois was Revenue Protection, RP. It's the revenue product with the guarantee increase in it. And it was most prevalently used at the 75, 80, and 85% coverage levels. And if you take those three coverage levels in that product, you have over about 68% of the use in Illinois.
And once you've done that and you look at how they paid out last year and what suggestions might be made for this year, do you come to any conclusions?
Yeah, I would say that if you were in that RP policy at the 75, 80, and 85% coverage level last year and we're pleased with its performance, stay there. The one thing I would suggest if you're going to stay there is to add the trend-adjusted APH yield endorsement. That will allow you to have either keep the same guarantee level and lower the premium cost or get a higher one. And also you might, and this is just a slight recommendation or just something to think about, is you might think about switching to the RP with the harvest price exclusion and bumping up the coverage level 5%. But that's just a suggestion.
So when and if you do that, it does change really the impetus behind the crop insurance from either yield to price or the other way around, right?
Yeah, that's right. And let me just give you an example. If you were at RP 80% last year, you can get the same product at the same cost at RP with exclusion at the 85%. And so those two have the same premium cost. RP with the harvest price exclusion will pay more when prices go down, and RP will pay more when prices go up and yields suffer. And RP, prime of year when RP would make payments is like last year when we had a higher harvest price and low yields.
How many corn acres in the state of Illinois were covered last year?
Last year we had 10.171 million acres insured, and that represents 81% of the acres planted in Illinois. So a sizable portion of the acres were insured in Illinois.
And soybean acres similar?
Similar numbers for soybeans. There was 6.86 million acres insured, and that represented 77% of the total. So 6,860 million acres insured last year.
Were most of those under enterprise units, and what is an enterprise unit?
Most of them, particularly the enterprise units, were used on the RP policy, and the RP or enterprise units were used on 62% of the insured acres. So most of the people were using enterprise units, and that's all of one crop in a county.
Okay, and then how about GRIP and GRIP HR?
GRIP last year for corn, GRIP HR had 9% of the acres, and GRIP had 1% of the acres. We've been seeing those numbers go down over time, and the primary reason they've been going down is because the premium on those have been going up, while the combo products, the premium has been going down. So people have been shifting because the cost have changed.
Will there be a suggestion this year that if you had a GRIP policy or a GRIP HR policy that the premium will be expensive enough and going up in price that you might want to consider a revenue protection policy?
It remains to be, you know, right now we're looking at lower volatilities, so all insurance premiums are coming down. But yeah, I would suggest you look at, if you've had GRIP last year, take a look at the RP combo product because the premiums have changed over time, and the RP policies have become less expensive relative to GRIP.
Decisions will be made starting March the 1st and must be made by the 15th of the month.
Yep. March 15th is the last day in which a policy can be changed. If you do nothing, you get the same policy as you did last year.
And make sure you take your trend-adjusted yield endorsement, right?
That's right. Make sure, and you have to make that election. If you don't choose that endorsement, you will have the same. You won't have that endorsement. So it's, if you have RP, YP, or RP with exclusion, make sure that you do take that endorsement. The APH yield is used in calculating guarantees. The trend-adjusted yield endorsement adds trend to that APH yield. So it will increase the APH yield, causing you to have a higher guarantee. And a byproduct of that is that you can lower the coverage level if you want to and have the same guarantee but at a lower price.
Okay, Gary, once again, if you could summarize just exactly what you think producers in the state of Illinois might do with their crop insurance at this point.
Most people last year took RP at a 75, 80, and 85% coverage level and used enterprise units. That'll be a good choice for the coming year. Add trend adjustment to it, and if you're in the GRIP policy, GRIP is still a very good policy, but take a look at RP because the premium changes.
Thanks so much, Gary.
Thanks for having me, Todd.
Gary Schnitke is a University of Illinois Extension Farm Management Specialist. You can read more from him at farmdocdaily.illinois.edu or visit farmdoc.illinois.edu. There are two different sites. On the second site, farmdoc.illinois.edu, you'll find all the crop insurance calculators and you can plug in the number for your own farm.
Agricultural programs are made possible by Risk Management Commodities Incorporated in Lafayette, Indiana, Chalmers, Indiana, and Hudsonville, Illinois. Risk Management Commodities focuses on managing risk in today's complex and sophisticated commodities market. 866-837-9027.
You're listening to the Closing Market Report on this Thursday afternoon. We tried earlier in our cast to talk with Dan Zwicker at ADM Grain Group in Decatur, Illinois. He, of course, is at the Commodity Classic this week and not quite available, so probably too far inside the building. On the phone line with us now to take a look at the cash grain market is Matt Bennett. He's at TGM in Windsor, Illinois. Good afternoon to you, Matt.
Good afternoon, Todd.
Well, congratulations to you and Tiffany, and tell me how young Tobias is doing.
Oh, he's doing great. He's been sleeping pretty good. We haven't had to stay up too much at night just yet, but he's doing a pretty good job, very healthy, and everyone's doing good.
Fantastic. We're really glad to hear that. Have you been able to keep track of the markets throughout the week?
Yeah, I've been watching them pretty close. I've been in and out of the office, but I haven't been in there 100% of the time. But, yeah, I've been watching pretty close.
And what did you find this week of interest?
Well, I think there's several things. You know, whenever you see beans getting up there around $13 on cash again, there's quite a few interested sellers, and we've seen a fair amount of cash movement. And then, you know, of course, on the corn, you know, been pushing back above 660 locally for us, and several guys have been interested there as well. So there's, you know, there's been several interesting things going on in the marketplace, but to me the most interesting one really is just the interesting guys selling again.
And they're selling. Once we started this rally again, have they started thinking, oh, they were thinking 650 and now we're at 660? Have they started thinking 680 or $7 for cash sales again? Are you hearing that often, or are they satisfied with current prices?
I don't know that I'm hearing that often, but I am, you know, hearing a few guys saying, well, I'd like to see it back to 675, 680. And, you know, a lot of these guys, the day of the January report, were just hoping to sell $6 corn again. So, you know, it's just a matter of perspective that I try to keep these guys thinking about.
Yeah, so what do you think? Is it $7 a Vegas play for you, or are you more on the side that it might go higher?
To me, if we were going to go to $7, I would be a little bit surprised at this point. Being this time of the year, I think it's going to be really interesting to see what kind of buyers step forward to push this thing on higher. It's going to be probably a tough row to hoe to really go a whole lot higher in here, especially in the face of large acreage, you know, on the new crop. I think it's going to kind of keep a little bit of a lid on prices, so to speak. So I don't know. It's kind of a crapshoot, but to me, a guy wouldn't really want to be banking on that other than maybe his gambling bushels.
And then when you look out fundamentally, what do you see in the way of a difference between old crop price and new crop price, given the 94 million acres that USDA has said farmers may plant this season?
Well, whenever I look at that, you know, you got to keep in mind, obviously, we're going to be looking at a pretty tight situation going into the fall. I think there's a lot of things at play, but one of the biggest ones is not only the acreage, but the timing of the acreage getting put in the ground. And, you know, if we come out here with the day of the acreage report and there's actually planters rolling in the Midwest at a decent clip, which, you know, the weather, the way it's been so far, it's not that hard to believe that that would be the case. If that's the case, then we'd have a fair amount of pressure on both new crop and old crop because on the old crop, you wouldn't be maybe quite so worried, you know, in the August time frame of running out of corn in regional areas. So I think it's going to have a pretty big impact, the timing of the planting of the crop this year.
Now, I know you're traveling today and you're helping take care of Tobias. Have you got a look at what your bids for the day there are at
T2?
Yeah, I
do.
Okay,
yeah, I do. For cash corn, we'd be looking at 658, and for fall, we'd be 541, and then on old beans, we'd be looking at $13 and $12.63 for new crop.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Todd.
That's Matt Bennett. He's with TGM in Windsor, Illinois, and joins us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report. When I come back, we'll talk with meteorologist Pete Labatt about the agricultural weather forecast. Stay with us if you can. For some of you, we'll say goodbye at this time and look forward to talking to you again tomorrow.
Support comes from Stuart Peterson, since 1985 offering strategic commodity consulting and marketing services to help producers manage market opportunities and risks. Stuart Peterson develops strategies customized to each client's goals and operation size. More information at stuart-peterson.com.
It's National Pig Day. The holiday was started in 1972 to, quote, accord the pig its rightful, though generally unrecognized, place as one of man's most intellectual and domesticated animals. It's also National Peanut Butter Lovers Day. On this day in agricultural history in 1784, E. Kidner opened the first cooking school in Great Britain. In 1989, Lee Wheelis set the world record for watermelon seed spitting at 68 feet 9 and 1/8 inches. There are contests in many locations throughout the U.S. in the spring and summer, many with diehard rules, including specifics regarding what is a sanctioned watermelon seed. In 1989, by a 13-8 vote of Iceland's parliament, a 1915 prohibition on beer came to an end. And in 2001, Joseph Bamford died, an English inventor. He is credited with the widespread application of hydraulic technology in construction and agricultural equipment, including the JCB Fast Track Tractor, capable of maximum speeds of 40 miles per hour. And that's this day in agricultural history.
Support for the Closing Market Report comes from AgriGold Hybrids, featuring the AgriGold Giants, a group of five new hybrids designed to meet the performance standards of yield, health, and consistency required by Midwestern corn growers. More information is at AgriGoldGiants.com or at 800-262-7333.
It's a Thursday afternoon. This is the Closing Market Report from the University of Illinois. I'm Todd Gleason. On the phone line, Pete Levin, agricultural meteorologist. Good afternoon to you, Pete.
Good afternoon, Todd.
We had some rough weather in southern Illinois this week, big tornadoes, and there's more to come, I suppose, but maybe a little deeper south tomorrow.
Yes, I think this is the main characteristic. We will have another repeat of a pretty significant tornado outbreak tomorrow, but it'll be a little bit further south and quite a bit farther east. I think only the extreme southeastern portions of Illinois, south and southeast, will see some opportunity for severe weather, and that may be in these rare and sometimes very dangerous nocturnal types of thunderstorms as the system gets prepped for the big day tomorrow and fires off some stuff early. And then tomorrow afternoon and evening, it looks like southern Indiana, Kentucky, maybe down into Tennessee, and those areas down there will have various lines of activity move across under the strong jet aloft and the intrusion of very warm, moist air from the south. The cooler air that we hear talked about all the time coming in from the north and west isn't really the main function here. It's really the strong jet aloft and the very warm and moist moisture air mass for so early in the season. And characteristic of tornado outbreaks at this time of year, they're not nearly as frequent, of course, in late February and March as they are later in the season, but when they occur, they're much stronger. And some of the really major tornadoes that do occur and that are the life-taking storms of each season are the ones that occur early in the season when they do occur. They don't occur as often, but when they occur, they can be pretty bad.
What is it in the atmosphere that causes that to happen?
You need the energy from somewhere. The kinetic energy comes from the strength of the jet stream aloft. That's blowing its merry way across from west to east, and it's unusually strong, and has been this year, across most of the central U.S. Then you need something to add moisture and moist energy to it, the latent heat of evaporated moisture. So you bring moisture up ahead of one of these strong jet pulses, and as that moisture starts to rise, it just suddenly throws much more unstable conditions into the air mass aloft, and the power of the combination of both is what winds up the storms. The cold air is just comes along for the ride at the end of the pattern, but it's really the moisture and heat, that's where the energy comes from, and then the cold weather comes in and it clears out afterwards. But these places occur on the weather map near the boundaries and ahead of the boundaries of the colder air, so people often relate the cold air to them, but they're just the marker on the map that a front is coming, and it's the action in front of the front really that you have to worry about.
Pete, thanks so much for taking the time to explain it to us. I really appreciate that.
My pleasure, Todd.
Pete Levitt, agricultural meteorologist, joined us here on this Thursday edition of the Closing Market Report.
Support for Stock and Commodity Reports on Illinois Public Media comes from Strategic Farm Marketing in Champaign, now hosting risk management seminars. A complete list of seminars is at sfarmmarketing.com.